Thank you, choir. That's a keeper. I like that one. I'm reading this morning from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. John tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. One time, comedian and TV star Danny Thomas once said, "My mother, God bless her, taught me when I was little never to carry yesterday on my back. It didn't matter what happened. Yesterday was dead. I remember her saying, there is nothing you can do about it now. If you get in the habit of carrying yesterday around on your back, you will be bent double by the time you are 21. And yet so many people do just that. They carry yesterday on their back, good people, Christian people, church people, nearly bent double by the guilt and grief over yesterday's failures and yesterday's sin. I cannot tell you the number of people over the years who have come to me. A retired veteran, a young wife and mother, a lady nearing her 90th birthday, and others. Troubled, remorseful, doubting, wondering if God can indeed forgive them for something that had happened in the distant past. Like a heavy burden, it weighed upon their hearts and minds day after day. Do you know anyone like that? Would that describe you? I want you to know this morning that God has provided a way for getting yesterday off your back. There are three steps. The first step is confession. If we confess our sins, the word for sin here is missing the mark or falling short of one's goal in life, of being the man, of being the woman that God wants you to be. If we confess our sins, to confess means to agree with, or to declare alike, that is, to agree with God. Yes, I am guilty. Yes, I have missed the mark. I have fallen short. But understand that confession is not some general, generic kind of prayer in which we say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Amen. True confession is naming the sin, calling it what it is, envy, lust, greed, whatever. Confession means being honest with yourself and being honest with God. And together with that, I would suggest to you that true confession involves turning away from the sin that has burdened you and has grieved your heart and has grieved the Lord. In a certain worship service, there was listed in the worship bulletin the prayer of confession. And this was a silent moment set aside for the people to speak openly and honestly with God about the sin in their lives. And after a moment of silence, the minister stood to speak and said, "Now picture yourself carrying your burden, your guilt, to the foot of the cross. Place them there one by one. And look up at Jesus, acknowledging your need for forgiveness. Then accept it and walk away, leaving your burden behind." I think that must have been the experience of the psalmist. Having went to God, he not only acknowledged his sin, but he also walked away from it in the presence of God, leaving that burden behind, and so he could say, what happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joy when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord. And he forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Confession. The second step to getting yesterday off your back is trust. Trust in God that he will do what he says he will do. He is faithful and just, says John. God is true to himself. He is trustworthy. He's reliable. He keeps his word if we openly confess our sins. He will forgive us. Gary Burge tells us that the word forgive really means to let go as a debt. That John is telling us our sins are removed from God's accounting. Our record is clean if we confess our sins. He will forgive us and remove the record against us. And then John says he will cleanse us, purify us, from every stain and from everything that separates us from God. I shared this verse once years ago with a lady who was troubled about some sin in her past. And she said, I did that. But I don't feel forgiven. And I said to her, it's not about feeling. It's about trust. Trust God. Believe him. He keeps his promises. He never breaks his word. In his autobiography, Once to Every Man, William Sloan Coffin tells of his painful divorce. After many years and three children, his marriage came apart. This prominent Presbyterian minister, Yale University chaplain, says that a sense of who he was shattered. And one day in New York City, Coffin met a friend, Abraham Heschel. When Rabbi Heschel asked him about his divorce, Coffin explained his devastation. And Heschel said, rather matter-of-factly, "Why didn't you come see me? I could have helped you. I would have told you about my father, the great Hasidic rabbi, blessed be his memory, who too was divorced." And the rabbi then said to Coffin, "You see, you Christians are so vexed by your perfectionism. It is always your undoing." And Coffin said, "I felt the tears starting down my cheeks. A Jew was reminding a Christian that his salvation lay not in being sinless, but in accepting God's forgiveness. And I would add to that, do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, and he looked down at those who had tortured them and those who were cursing him, and he said, "Father, forgive them." Now, do you not think that if he could forgive those who participated in his death, he can and will forgive you? One thing more. The third step to getting yesterday off your back is commitment. No, it's not here in our text, but it's scriptural. Having confessed your sin and turned away from your sin and accepted God's forgiveness, then commit yourself anew to be the man, the woman that God in Christ has called you to be, and follow him. Determine that you're going to follow him from that point on with all of your heart and your mind and your spirit. There is nothing that will encourage you more in the Lord and enable you to move beyond the burden and guilt of yesterday's sin than committed living in the present. We remember Simon Peter going out into the night, weeping bitterly over his denial. Earlier, he told Jesus he would follow him to prison and death, and even if he had to die with Christ, he wouldn't deny him. But he did. Three times. And the third time with curses. But there's another scene. A few days later, following the resurrection, Christ is speaking to Simon Peter by the fireside on the shore of Galilee. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? His very last words. Yes, he asked Peter if he loved him three times, and three times Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." But his very last words to this disciple who had failed him so miserably were, "Follow me." Did you hear that? After his miserable failure, "Follow me." And he did. He did. And my, what a follower of Jesus Simon Peter became from that moment on for the rest of his life. There's a legend that after that, when Simon Peter would be preaching, telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, every now and then he would hear a rooster crow in the distance. And then he would hesitate and falter. But then he would remember that experience with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. And he would resume preaching with even greater zeal and greater power. That's his word to you this morning, to me, and to everyone else who has ever stumbled and fallen in their walk with Christ. I forgive you. I forgive you. Now come and follow me. In that popular poem by Louisa Fletcher, we read, "I wish there was some wonderful place in the land of beginning again where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. There is such a place. It is that place where, with a bowed head and a bended knee and a broken heart, you meet God in confession and trust and renewed commitment. Isn't it time you got yesterday off your back? Our hymn of invitation this morning is 144. When I survey the wondrous cross, and I invite you to come this morning to come and accept Christ as your Savior. I invite you to come and unite with this church by letter, by statement, by baptism, to come and recommit your life to Him as we stand and as we sing. Please be seated as we prepare for the serving of the Lord's Supper. And I would remind you this morning that this table is a time for you and me, a time for reflection on the life and the death, the resurrection of Christ, what He has meant and what He means in your life, and who He has called you to be as His follower in the world. This is also a time, I think, of looking inward, a time of reevaluation of where we are in that relationship, how closely we have followed Him in obedience in our words and in our living. I also think this is a time of recommitment to Him. For who among us does not need to draw closer, a little closer to Him? in our daily living. And who of us have not faltered and failed somewhere along the way and need to come back to Him in renewed commitment? Around this table, may the elements speak to you, and may they call you and challenge you beyond this time and place. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son into the world to redeem us and to claim us and call us and use us, representing him in the world. We pray, Father, that you would take us now through this supper and beyond and lift us up to lift up Christ in the world. In his name, amen.
Thank you.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my transgressions and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it and eat. Remember, this is my body, broken for you." Amen. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you be willing and obedient, they shall eat of the good of the land. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. For you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus lifted His cup and said to His disciples, "This cup represents my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let's stand for our closing prayer. And now, Father, grant that we would grow in the knowledge of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He loved us, gave Himself for us, and now calls us to follow Him beyond these walls into a world that needs Him so desperately. Strengthen us, Father, that day by day we would lift up Christ in every way. In His name we pray.